Everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the milk of human kindness is not pasteurized when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. The global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, so says the Club of Rome. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing in essentially the same words, false prophets, war, famine, and disease. In 1920, nearly 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers producing their own food and fiber. They produce food for themselves and food for the rest of the world and food for you and I. Today, we Americans have chosen to live in the cities, and now only 3% of us live out on the land. 97% of us Americans, 97% of us are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. We depend upon the Teamsters Union and the grocery store, the supermarket. Now, we produce grain for export, all right, and then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreign and alien multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. And these globalists, with their genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for. And I say, let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now and order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. Remember, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine, send an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. Right. Last time we were talking about statistics and lies. You know, most of what we believe, we receive through the media. Think about it for a minute. How do you know anything that's going on around you? Don't you get it from, the Lehrer News Hour, or from Bob Schieffer on the 6 o'clock news, or you read it in USA Today or your local newspaper? So, you know, the information that we receive comes from the printed matter around us. And an old-timey advertising man once told me, he said, if you want to sell something to people, Gordon, and overcome their resistance to the sell, put it in print. Put it in print. It's one thing to tell somebody something, it's something else if they read it, because if they read it, they believe it's true. Now think about that for a minute, because you believe in evolutionary philosophy. And where did you learn about evolution? You read about it. You saw it in the books and you saw the pictures. Now pictures are even more vivid than the written word. So when you put the written word along with pictures in a book, that's the way you convince people that the story is true. So we see pictures. Now television's a good source because we can actually see the pictures from Iraq. Now those pictures oftentimes are a week or 2 weeks old. I can look at one newscast on PBS and look at another newscast on another news network, and I notice that they've got the same pictures coming from the same source. Sometimes they'll tell you file footage. You ever seen that file footage? See, they're not showing you these Al-Qaeda guys, you know, swinging on this ladder, you know, that's hung horizontally. I mean, you've seen that picture 1,000 times. That's not what's going on today at an Al-Qaeda training camp. That's what they discovered years ago. That's called file footage. Now, you combine that with the spoken word, and you have propaganda. And we're all subjected to this propaganda. And then there's advertising. My God, there's just an endless stream of advertisements that are telling us these stories. And we read these ads, or we see them on television, and they're funny, and they're humorous, and we like them, or whatever, and we believe what they tell us. I mean, after all, they keep telling us over and over again. And human beings are motivated by these five motivators. Vanity, number one. Jealousy, number two. Lust, number three. Greed, number four. And fear, number five. Vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. That's what makes you buy everything that you buy. It motivates you. It causes you to act. Those are the five motivators. And every salesman is trained in those five motivators. Well, if he's any good, he's out here selling. He's propagating fear. I mean, you're listening to a radio program. And your beliefs that you're developing concerning the information that you're learning about right now on the air from my voice are being sold to your mind, your subconscious, through these five motivators. You're either vain, hey, look at what I'm learning from this, and nobody else knows. or you're jealous. God, I've got to know this because somebody else might know this, and I can't let anybody else get ahead of me. Lust, you want to know this. You're trying to learn this because there's some lust or greed. Maybe there's money you want to make. Or fear. Maybe you're terrified. God, I better listen to this guy, Gordon, or I'm going to die in the morning. Insurance is sold primarily by fear. Licenses and government policies and bureaucracy is sold by fear. Well, the milk propagandists got in on the act. I mean, it took a long time to convert people from raw milk to pasteurized milk. It takes a long time to convert people, unless there's some great tragedy. Now, you can convert people from peace to war over a Pearl Harbor or a Twin Towers event. Something that is so shocking that it'll motivate you to action. And fear, war, is predicated upon fear. My God, if we don't take action against these Japs immediately, they'll be invading California next. That'll motivate you to go to war overnight. Now, ordinarily, you didn't want to go to war. So you didn't want to go to war in Iraq. But after the Twin Towers, by golly, now that convinced you right away, we need to go to war. Now, of course, after we've been at war now for 2 years, we're starting to have some second thoughts. You know, maybe that wasn't such a good idea after all. Maybe we were propagandized. Maybe we were lied to. So lying to us is very common, and government lies to us quite often. But we believe those lies, don't we? Didn't you believe weapons of mass destruction? I did. When Colin Powell went before the United Nations and told that story, I said, oh my God, that guy Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. And we know that because of our intelligence reports, and here's our Secretary of State making that report. Now we find out later, Colin Powell either lied or was deceived himself. I wouldn't go so far as to say that Colin Powell was a liar. I don't know if he was lying or not. If he knew the truth, then he was lying. If he didn't know the truth, then he was just deceived. I was just deceived. I believed it because that's what I heard on the radio and television. And as time progressed, now I don't believe that the Iraqis had these weapons of mass destruction. In fact, now it's been pretty well conclusively demonstrated they didn't have them. The North Koreans have them. The Iranians are trying to get them. But the Iraqis didn't have them, and evidently weren't even trying to get them. Saddam Hussein evidently was happy with his billions of dollars of ill-gotten gain through his oil fields and was just living life to the full. But when we're talking about milk, how did 140 million Americans get converted from raw milk to pasteurized milk? And the answer was propaganda, and primarily lying propaganda. As I showed you last time, the other typhoid deaths, you know, the Reader's Digest, enlarging on the Progressive's hysterical and dishonest article reported. Now here's Reader's Digest reported, an estimated 45,000 persons will be stricken this year with one or another of the lethal diseases carried by infected raw milk. Diseases such as diphtheria, streptococcus infections of the throat and tonsils, dysentery, scarlet fever, typhoid fever, paratyphoid, and undulant fever. Still more thousands will suffer debilitating gastric and intestinal disturbances, which are likely to be put down to food poisoning. Thousands of infants will contract diarrhea, more or less serious. Unquote. Now that's from Reader's Digest. Wow. Our old friend the cow is nothing but a four-legged typhoid Mary. But knowing the old adage about statistics and statisticians, we looked at the records for the years 1944 and 45, which are the 2 years preceding the Progressive article in the Reader's Digest condensation. Official public health reports for those 2 years revealed. Now listen to this. Here's the public health reports. Diseases from raw milk and raw milk in ice cream, 904 cases. Now remember, they reported 45,000 people are going to be stricken this year. And indeed they were. Raw milk, they traced 904 cases. Diseases from pasteurized milk and pasteurized milk and ice cream, 1,841 cases. In other words, the official statistics show that pasteurized milk caused twice as many of these diseases as did the raw milk. And that's the facts that came from not the Reader's Digest article, but from the health services themselves. But it gets better, or it gets worse, depending on your perspective. Darlington, in the Rural New Yorker, to emphasize the relative unimportance of milk in transmitting disease, gives the following comparisons for the year 1944. Diseases from milk and milk products, 1,499 cases. Just round that off to 1,500 if you're keeping score. Diseases from water, 2,686 cases, nearly twice as many. Diseases from foods other than milk, 14,558 cases. In other words, if you took a look at all of the disease caused by milk and milk products, 1,499 cases. Diseases from other foods other than milk, 14,000 cases. Raw milk accounted for a little over 2% of this total, and Darlington comments wryly, if evidence to support the promotion of pasteurization is so difficult to find that it must needs be distorted and in some cases even invented, then an honest mind cannot fail to grasp that the case for pasteurization is very weak indeed. The propaganda blitz in the lay press has, unfortunately, been supported by the majority of professional organizations. Now here's a list of professional organizations opposed to raw milk. And here they are. The American Veterinary Medical Association, they're opposed to raw milk. American Medical Association, they're opposed to raw milk. The American Dental Association is opposed to raw milk. The American Academy of Pediatrics is opposed to raw milk. The Federal Food and Drug Administration, the Center for Disease Control, the National Dairy Council, state and county health departments, the U.S. Animal Health Association, the National Association of State Public Health Veterinarians, the Conference of State and Territorial Epidemiologists, all of these organizations, prestigious organizations, are all opposed to raw milk. My God, then the stuff must be bad for you. I'll tell you, the only guy that's in favor of raw milk is God Almighty. That's the only guy that I know of that tells you that milk is good for you. Everybody else is opposed to it. Well, God and George Gordon and Campbell Douglas. Now, there's a couple others out there, but they're just a couple of babbling lunatic fringe nuts. Now, with this kind of opposition, the tiny group of dairymen producing top-quality untreated milk can survive only if the American consumer educates himself about milk and then, in turn, enlists the aid of the doctor and his state legislators. As the people responsible for the nation's health are largely misinformed on the subject of milk, the impetus for the return to healthy milk must come from the consumer. How in the hell can the consumer, I gotta pause here, wait a minute, Douglas, how in the hell can the consumer put pressure on the legislators and on the doctors if it's the doctors, the veterinarians, and all these professionals over here that are writing all the articles telling us how bad raw milk is? Hell, the consumers are propagandized into believing that the stuff isn't fit. I told you about the nurse in California. She's been to college. She believes that raw milk is death. I told you about the Finnish dairymen. Hell, they believe that raw milk is death. If the producers of raw milk believe that it's death, how now are you going to get the average consumer who's being propagandized by all of these institutions? Now think about that for a moment. The lies that you believe and you learn from the printed page, that's the most effective way to lie to people, is to put it in print. If it's in print, people will believe it. Then, of course, you can enforce that with pictures. God, it's just dynamite. Now, if you've got pictures with the printed word. Now, this relentless propaganda has reduced the number of raw certified dairies to 3, 2 in California and 1 in Georgia. Public health officials and misinformed professional groups across the country continue their vicious attacks against the 3 remaining raw certified milk producers. The recent anti-milk book, Don't Drink Your Milk by Oski, brought up the old argument about other mammals not drinking milk after weaning. Man is the only mammal, the argument goes, who drinks milk after the weaning age. Therefore, it is abnormal and against nature's intent. But man is one of the few mammals who eats snails, raw clams, and raw oysters. And he's the only mammal who eats lobster. Most mammals are restricted in what they eat by their ecological circumstances. They can only eat what nature provides. Man, with his mobility and intelligence, has a wide variety of foods to choose from. Most mammals, if offered fresh milk, will drink it and like it. Just try it on your cat. Now, Oski's anti-milk book implicates milk in a larger, wide range of diseases, including anemia and arthritis, Lou Gehrig's disease, fatigue, allergy, and multiple sclerosis. But tragically, the author didn't understand that man, not the cow, is the culprit, and that pasteurization and homogenization is the cause. In fact, he doesn't even mention homogenization in his book. Oski doesn't. And that it's this homogenization and pasteurization which caused most of the ills that he blames on milk. Arthritis and multiple sclerosis, two of the diseases that he blames on milk, can actually be treated with raw milk. We'll see that in chapter 11. Oski's book does contain an excellent chapter on the politics of milk. Since he wrote his book, the political situation has gotten much worse. President Reagan, who is supposed to be a conservative, signed into law a bill that pays dairy farmers not to produce milk. So the dairy farmer, like the potato farmer, joins a privileged class paid not to work. Now, salmonella is not a fish, but it's a form of bacteria. But public health officials and scientists who should know better act awfully fishy about salmonella. If you don't understand salmonella, you won't understand the Alta Dina conspiracy that follows. Once you understand the basic bacteriology of milk, you'll see how incredible the conspiracy against Alta Dina and Mathis dairies really is. Now, the organism was named after the American veterinarian D.E. Salmon, who isolated it in 1855. It is ubiquitous. Salmonella is in your nose. It's in your living room rug. Salmonella is in your digestive tract. There's salmonella in your gut and plenty in your hair. Your cat has it, too. Salmonella is also in your food. All of your food that hasn't been sterilized and sealed in a container contains salmonella. Now, a Center for Disease report, this is the Center for Disease Control, report in 1978 revealed that meat was far and away the most common cause of salmonella food poisoning. Other causes were mayonnaise, water, Mexican food, potato salad, hamburger casserole, and tacos. So what's all this stuff about milk? Even Peruvian fish meal and turtles have caused salmonella food poisoning, but raw certified milk? Never. Not once. Another common source of salmonella poisoning is cheese from pasteurized milk. One epidemic in Colorado put 339 people in the outhouse. There were no fatalities, but everyone got their intestinal tract thoroughly scoured. The CDC reported an outbreak of salmonella food poisoning in Arizona, 23 people sick, from pasteurized milk. An epidemic in Ohio was caused by marijuana. The smokers then transmitted it to their children, and the children infected their grandmothers. The CDC appears to be as eager as the California Health Department to stamp out raw certified milk. They supported the California Health Service's vicious and unwarranted attacks against Altadena Dairy. They editorialized, "Salmonella contamination of unpasteurized milk can be a persistent problem, even in dairies that follow the procedures recommended by the American Association of Medical Milk Commissions," emphasis added. And they concluded that present-day technology cannot produce raw milk, including that listed as certified, that can be assured to be free of pathogens. Only with pasteurization is there this assurance. You might expect that sort of statement from a high school biology report, but not from a PhD, an MD, and a veterinarian at the Center for Disease Control. Well, actually, present-day technology solved that problem years ago with the introduction of the automatic milk machine. Now, another illustration of the CDC's competence level was of July 1977 in a report in which they state that Q fever can be caught from raw milk. Q fever has never been contracted from drinking milk, raw or pasteurized, and the disease comes only from inhaling the organisms. And one research group claims to have proven that Q fever can be transmitted through milk. Their work was not convincing. In October of 1978, there was an epidemic of salmonella food poisoning in Arizona involving 66 people, which was caused by pasteurized milk. Now, every one of these outbreaks is not being caused, boys and girls, by raw milk. It's being caused by pasteurized milk. And remember, the purpose for pasteurization is what? It's to eliminate these pathogens so you don't get sick, isn't it? And come on, boys and girls, let's grow up and get real. So when milk causes some one of these outbreaks, it's pasteurized milk that's causing it, not raw milk. I've read to you about four or five of them here so far. The bacteria level was 23 times the legal limit, and the CDC reported that the milk had been properly pasteurized. Tell me this stuff was properly pasteurized. Well, the pasteurization has nothing to do with it. If that milk had not been pasteurized, raw milk that is, lack of pasteurization would have been blamed for the epidemic. Yet the Center for Disease Control continues to tell us that only with pasteurization is there assurance against infection. What a crock of BS. You know, they come out here with all these prestigious organizations and tell us, hey, the only way you can assure yourself of being safe from pathogens in milk is if it's pasteurized. And every one of these cases that I just read to you is caused by pasteurized milk. So the fact that your milk is pasteurized doesn't mean that it causes these diseases. It means that it doesn't necessarily protect you from them. Now, the CDC undertook to tell sanitarians that what they should know about salmonella in 1967. An article appeared in a technical milk journal in December, and 3 months later, in March 1968, the same material reappeared in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The first article blamed salmonella contamination of powdered milk on raw milk from one cow out of 800 dairy farms. As this particular plant handles 11 million pounds of milk every year from tens of thousands of cows, it would be statistically impossible for one cow to be responsible, even if one cow were heavily infected. The dilutive factor makes this supposition ridiculous. And what was not mentioned in the first article was brought out in the second one. Two workers in the plant were found to be infected with salmonella. It was people, not the milk, not the cows. As usual, raw milk got the blame. They can heat the milk all day, and if there are dirty workers at the packaging end of the line, the salmonella will be in the packaged milk. So they pasteurized the milk, reduced it to powder, shipped it down the assembly line, and two workers down there that were infected with the salmonella, they probably went potty and didn't wash their hands and then came back and packaged your milk. That's what happened to you. So the CDC, again, backing up the hitmen of the California Department of Health, reported that Altadena raw milk had been implicated in outbreaks of salmonella in 1958, 1964, 1971, through 1975. And this was proven to be absolutely false. But you don't read about that in the paper. See, and once the paper puts out its headlines, Altadena dairy implicated in outbreak of disease, then they investigate. And then they find out, no, that's not true. It wasn't Altadena dairy. It was two dirty workers after the milk had been pasteurized. You never read a word about that. Now, that's not honesty in journalism. It's not even carelessness in journalism. It's just outright propaganda. But then all of these institutions and organizations have a political, a vested, or a financial interest in pasteurized milk as opposed to raw milk. Now, again, I'm all in favor of freedom of choice. You know, if 99.9% of people want to drink pasteurized milk, I say let them have it. Don't let me get in the way of their happiness and success. But if 0.1% of us want to drink raw milk, why can't we drink raw milk? Why can't we have that same freedom of choice? Why can't we make ourselves sick and diseased on this dirty, raw, nasty milk because we want to? Now, I've shown you so far that pasteurized milk causes heart attack, crib death, and a whole host and plethora of other degenerative diseases. I'm not trying to protect you or your children from crib death, ladies. You go give your kid that pasteurized milk. Go put your kid on that formula and turn out this little runty, stunted, sick, degenerate kid if you want to. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. that's what you want to do. I think freedom of choice gives you that right. Why can't I have freedom of choice? Why are you pasteurization freaks so evangelistic that you want to take away from me my right to choose? How come, huh? Can you tell me? Is it because I'm too damn dumb to protect myself and you're so damn smart that you got to come over here and protect me from myself? Is that what it is, evangelist? Huh? Well, take your pasteurized milk and shove it, would you? And get off my back. Well, the CDC, you know, is at the heart and core of this attack on Altadena Dairy. CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control. They want to control disease. They can't control the disease in the pasteurized milk, so they attack the producers of raw milk. Now, the staff veterinarian of the Iowa Department of Health repeated the California falsehoods to justify the compulsory pasteurization of milk in Iowa. They embellished on California's phony reports and struck fear into the raw milk drinkers by stating that raw certified milk cannot be guaranteed free from disease because the salmonella germs are shed intermittently into the milk from the cow's blood. That's a damn lie. Salmonella does not come from cow's blood. Furthermore, salmonella is everywhere and your immune system should take care of that salmonella. How come your immune system's so damn weak and you're so sick and spindly, you people out there, that 99% of you are diseased and show symptoms? America is the sickest nation ever produced in the history of mankind. 99% of us have disease. 99%. I mean, for practical purposes, you could say everybody in America is sick. There's something wrong with every American. There's just a precious few of us that don't have disease symptoms. Now, Iowa doesn't stop at just scaring the bejesus out of the citizens concerning raw milk. They don't fool around in Iowa. The Iowa courts have ruled that it is within the scope of the police power to require that all milk for human consumption must be pasteurized. Now, that's dedication. So what you do up in Iowa, you raw milk drinkers, you put for pet use or pet food on your container when you put raw milk in and take it home and feed it to your kids. The most recent attack against raw and pasteurized milk is the leukemia reports. Some cows do indeed have a leukemia called bovine leukemia. Bovine leukemia virus, called BLV. But human blood studies have never shown the presence of the virus. Millions of Americans have been raised in raw milk. And yet leukemia is not a common disease. In India, almost all of the milk is unpasteurized, but leukemia is not a common disease in India either. Another bum rap against raw milk. Not all state health departments are as ignorant as those in California, Nevada, and Iowa. A letter from the Pennsylvania Bureau of Foods and Chemistry left no doubt about their confidence in raw milk. It says, quote, I can think of no incident in Pennsylvania in the past 20 years in which raw milk was determined to have been the cause of human illness. The California Health Department, apparently unable to sell its shabby research in the United States, took its roadshow to England and got it published in a British medical journal. They reported that Dairy X, that's called Altadena Dairy of California, was wiping out poor cancer patients with their infernal raw milk contaminated with salmonella. Two Scottish experts responded, in essence, that the California Health Department was blowing smoke. We found no evidence of life-threatening potential on the part of salmonella. They had examined 700 cases in England without finding a single really serious case. The three courageous certified dairies producing raw certified milk are a highly select group of farmers with a desire to supply the people with clean, nutritious milk. Health departments are expanding their time and taxpayers' money, pursuing a problem where none exists. And it's ironic that health bureaucrats over-inspect the milk producers who are least likely to have milk contaminated with salmonella or any other bacteria. I stated in testimony before the California Milk Commission, the group responsible for milk sanitation in California, that looking for salmonella at the Altadena Certified Dairy or the Mathis Certified Dairy in Georgia is like looking for atheists in a Baptist church. You might find one occasionally, but your yield would be extremely low. If you want to find salmonella, go where the action is. Go to the commercial food establishment. Go to the barbecues, church socials. Check the mayonnaise, the roast beef, and the custard pie. Forget the raw certified milk. It's the one food that you know will not have salmonella. Okay, I got to bring you up to date here. So let me put a little mark here in the margin and give you a couple of reminders that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. To be accessed, just simply go to the website, georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just go to the Law School website, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. And keep in mind that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or this radio station. We say that so that they don't lose their advertising funding from the National Dairy Council. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website, georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, or georgegordon.org. I always find it curious or humorous that if you disagree with me, you're going to pull your advertising. If I disagree with you, I'm just going to report you. I'm not going to pull my advertising. I'm not going to quit eating a certain food because I disagree with the manufacturer or something like that. People have a right to freedom of speech. We believe that here at the law school. That's becoming a lost art or a lost commodity here in America. My God, if you don't agree with somebody, stop doing business with them. That seems to be the opinion of most Americans today. That debate, free speech, you're entitled to your opinion and I'm entitled to mine, and doesn't go very far in this country any longer. If I disagree with you, I'm going to get real mad at you and beat you up. Now, let's get brought up to date. Vogue magazine, July 1984. They blasted raw milk. Their health section was headlined, Raw Milk Warning, a new and dangerous fad, drinking raw or certified raw milk, also known as unpasteurized milk. In a recent newsletter of the California Council Against Health Frauds, John Bolton, M.D., cautions that people drinking raw milk are at increased risk of salmonella infection, which can result in high fevers and bloody diarrhea. You like that? In 1983, the risk of contracting salmonella was 118 times greater for those who drank raw milk than those who did not. Now, that statement, as pointed out in the next chapter, is based on misusing statistics. You heard the old adage, you know, statistics don't lie, but liars use statistics. You see, the years reported for those statistics in Chapter 4 are 1944 and 45, but nothing has changed, and they're still lying about raw milk using invalid statistics compiled by medical bureaucrats. Why are the state health departments so fanatical and malicious towards raw milk dealers? Well, part of the answer is undoubtedly ignorance of the scientific facts. We'll give them a little slack here. Just ignorant. You give the average health officer or doctor a quiz on the infectious aspects of raw versus pasteurized milk and the nutritional differences between them, and he will, in all likelihood, flunk. But an equally important reason is the economic reason, which is really the number one reason, it's money. Professor Oscar Erf, ERF, pointed this out over 40 years ago. He said the Board of Health and cities as a rule are unwilling to spend money for this inspection of raw milk to secure a good nutritious milk supply to those that want it. This is where the difficulty usually lies. State officials resorted to outright deception of the public to discredit raw milk in South Carolina. I testified before the South Carolina legislature on raw milk, and I was astounded at the sneaky methods used by the state and the university officials in their attempt to discredit raw milk. The state veterinarian, C.E. Boyd, told the horror story of a herd of 385 dairy cows that he had destroyed because half of them were tuberculosis reactive. Now, Boyd knew perfectly well that a positive skin test for TB, a tuberculosis reactor, did not mean that the reactor had tuberculosis. Well, I mean, if he had any real medical knowledge, he knew that. That is, 99% of the time it means that the animal or person is immune to tuberculosis. Notice how they twisted that around. Let me repeat that. Many of you probably missed it. The state veterinarian, C.E. Boyd, told a horror story of a herd of 385 dairy cows that he had destroyed because half of them were tuberculosis reactive. Tuberculosis reactive. He said, my God, they're tuberculosis reactive. I've got to have these cows destroyed. Now, this guy's got a degree. He's a veterinarian. He's got letters after his name. Now, this guy, Boyd, the veterinarian, knew perfectly well that a positive skin test for TB, called a tuberculosis reactor, did not mean that the reactor had tuberculosis. 99% of the time, it means that the animal or person is immune to tuberculosis. He has an immunity to it. He doesn't have the disease. Now, you know, there's this old adage, you know, the statistics don't lie, but statisticians oftentimes lie. The numbers don't lie, but the liars use numbers. Now, these doctors out here oftentimes know that what they're telling you is misleading. They tell you the truth oftentimes. Madison Avenue tells you the truth. Milk is full of calcium. What they don't tell you is that none of the calcium is available to your digestive system because it's been pasteurized. Once you kill the enzyme, you can't utilize it. I can't for the life of me see why anybody would want to drink pasteurized milk since the calcium has been rendered useless by pasteurization. But then, you know, people are people. I hear this all the time. I drink milk because it's got lots of calcium. Now, it's not my duty to protect every fool from his folly. I don't have to go out here and explain to people, you know, my God, wait, you know, let me explain this to you. I don't care if this guy's dumb or not. It's no skin off my back. And there is something you can do about it. I mean, you don't have to drink pasteurized milk and give yourself disease any longer. You can stop in the morning. Hell, if you just stop drinking milk, that would be a step in the right direction. And many doctors, in fact, I think most doctors recommend that you stop drinking milk because they know that milk has a health hazard. What they don't know is that it's pasteurized milk that has the health hazard. not the raw milk. See, once they've been propagandized into believing that infectious disease and raw milk go hand in hand, once they got that in their head, and then once they find out that, oh my God, milk causes degenerative disease, then of course they want to recommend against all milk. God's a little different. You see, vegetarians will tell you, don't eat meat, because meat's bad for you. God tells you, don't eat all meat. Some meat is bad for you, some meat's good for you. So we have to differentiate between the two. God would go a step further and tell you, milk's good for you, but not all milk is good for you. Don't drink pasteurized, homogenized milk. In fact, there's a scripture in the Bible that tells you not to eat goat boiled in his mother's milk. Don't eat a kid seethed in his mother's milk. Tells you right there, pasteurization, boiled milk is bad for you. Now, there's probably another reason for that. Probably has something to do with pagan idolatry, but moral of the story is there's a scripture that tells you, same thing with fat, tells you not to eat fat. Tells you to drink milk, sounds like an oxymoron. Drink milk with the cream because the cream has the enzyme. Don't eat the animal fat because the animal fat doesn't have the enzyme. Now, this guy Boyd knew that he was a lying deceiver when he reported that to the South Carolina Senate. I testified that half the 100 people in the hearing room undoubtedly had positive skin tests for tuberculosis. God, that'd be wonderful if you had a positive skin test for TB. But that did not mean that they had to be slaughtered or even treated. Even if the cows had TB, I said the milk would still be okay to drink. I pointed out that tuberculosis people, not cows, or cow's milk, give tuberculosis to people. Even a cow with TB will not give you TB. You get TB from other people with TB. Intestinal TB used to be caused by tubercular milk. That was caused by a tubercular milker hacking into the milk pail. Flies or other insects and contamination by manure. All of this has been eliminated by closed system automatic milking machines, and as Dr. Boyd knows, it's extremely rare to find a cow today with active tuberculosis anyway. To illustrate how scientists can manipulate the people's representatives and how the press can manipulate the rest of us, we reproduce below an editorial that appeared in the Columbia, South Carolina Record following the Senate hearing. Now here's the Senate hearing. Dr. Douglas went in and testified, and the veterinarian went in and testified. And here's the report that is reported in the editorial of the newspaper. It says, Tuesday, April 27, 1982, Records Editorials, Nay to Raw Milk. While we'd hoped that a bill to allow commercial production of unpasteurized milk in South Carolina would languish away in the Senate's Medical Affairs Committee, such was not to be. Unfortunate. However, Senator Hyman Rubin, who heads the committee, said he was bringing the bill into the calendar out of fairness to Senator T. Ed Garrison of Anderson, a dairy farmer and chairman of the Agriculture Committee. Garrison is a chief advocate of the measure. Rubin is personally opposed. We're on Rubin's side. We're against it. We trust that the bill will sour, spoil, and be tossed away as it's stacked with the other bills on the Senate calendar shelves. No cold storage. Should the bill go before the Senate, we trust that senators will recall testimony of leading medical men and Dr. Robert L. Jackson, DHEC Commissioner. Jackson says it's not possible for any inspection or regulation to ensure that raw milk is as safe as pasteurized milk. And I'm opposed to the bill because continued pasteurization is the only way we can ensure a safe milk product. Well, this is what we call the Trojan cow. The Medical Milk Commission, responsible for certifying as to the purity of milk, had taken a strong stand against pasteurization since their inception at the turn of the 20th century. They defended clean, unpasteurized milk properly inspected as the milk of choice because of its superior nutrition, better digestibility, and freedom from disease-causing properties suspected of being in heated milk. But by 1929, the camel got his nose into the tent, and in September of 1929, the first pasteurized certified milk was sold. Pasteurized certified milk. Now, there was vigorous objection to this from members of the Milk Commission and producers of raw certified milk. Certification, they said, was for the purpose of guaranteeing disease-free milk, making the destructive process of pasteurization unnecessary. The issue would become blurred and confused. The consumer would come to think erroneously that pasteurization was an added benefit to certification of the raw product. But why have raw milk at all if the pasteurized milk is certified as to purity? You see, the whole purpose of raw certified milk, the avoidance of the destructive pasteurization process, while at the same time producing pure milk, was being subverted. A member of the Milk Commission said, "It is at times distressing to see forces at work trying to eliminate or destroy our cause. More effort is expended to accomplish this end than trying to do something about the 60% of milk that remains unprotected, even by pasteurization." So let me point this out. I was in the dairy business from 1955 through 1965, 10 years. I operated a dairy. I worked on many dairy. And I said to you, and I'll say it again, I never saw a dairyman that would drink the milk out of his bulk tank. We, all of us dairymen, knew that stuff wasn't fit for human consumption. We used to shoot penicillin into the milk tank, you know, tubes of penicillin to keep the bacteria count down. Hell, we thought that was good for you. Now we find out that all of this antibiotic use is bad for us. Hell, we didn't know. We knew this. That milk wasn't fit to drink. and we wouldn't drink it. We drank our milk out of our own cows. Then we became persuaded that pasteurized milk was good for us and raw milk was bad for us. I've seen many dairymen buy their milk out of the grocery store. Hell, they wouldn't even drink their own milk from their own cows. I saw that evolution come about. Now, if you can convince the dairymen, the producers of this product over here, that this stuff is unsafe and that it's bad for you, how are you going to convince consumers out there that raw milk is good for them? Now, I'll give you some health benefits as we progress along in this series of programs, and I'll show you the therapeutic effects of it and why it is that God designed cows, sheep, and goats for the express purpose of milk, and they're good for you, and they're healthful and nutritious. But if you produce dirty milk, by golly, it'll give you infectious disease. So the milk's got to be clean. And number two, if you boil this milk, if you pasteurize this milk, it's going to change its chemical composition, and that's going to be harmful to you. So this milk, you need to understand, is a very delicate product. Milk. I mean, this stuff has a very short shelf life. It's like getting strawberries. I mean, this stuff, from the time you pick it to the time you eat it, has a very short shelf life. 5 days. That's it. And it's better if your milk is delivered to you the day after it's been milked. In fact, I always recommend to my customers that you call me the day before you're going to come over, so that I'll make sure that when I milk my cows, you get today's milk when you take it home. I want you to get the freshest milk possible. I mean, from the time that milk comes out of the cow, that it goes into your refrigerator in a matter of hours. And so oftentimes I'll milk at 8 o'clock at night. And the next morning, so I put it in my cooler up here, I've got the milk filtered and strained. I've got the milk cooled to 35 to 40 degrees, and you pick it up tomorrow morning. The milk is less than 12 hours old. You pick it up in the morning. It's less than 24 hours old. It's about 12 hours old. Now, you take that milk home. You've got a shelf life of about 5 days. Every day that milk is in your refrigerator, the bacteria are growing in the milk. And as the bacteria grow in numbers in the milk flavor changes. Every day. Two-day-old milk has a different flavor than fresh milk. Three-day-old milk has a different flavor than two-day-old milk, and so on down the line. This is why the dairy industry puts flavor enhancers in the milk. That's why the dairy industry insists that your cows not be out on free range where they can eat anything they want, because that flavor of the weeds and the foods that they eat goes into their milk, and they don't want that. They want a uniform product. They want a uniform product just like gasoline. Not only is the shelf life of raw milk short, the flavor changes day after day. So you need to be aware of that when you're a raw milk drinker. Now, at the end of 5 days, that doesn't mean the milk is sour. It means that the milk's flavor is changing rapidly because the bacteria are growing very rapidly. Sometimes raw milk will keep for 7 days. I've had it keep for as long as 9 days. If you get it at 35 degrees, you can hold it there for up to 9 days. But that's max. It'll go sour on you. Now, it doesn't rot. It just goes sour. And you can use sour milk for all kinds of things. Sometimes the wife actually sours the milk so that she can make whey or she can make cheese or something else. But you want to keep in mind that raw milk needs to be, it's a live food, and it needs to be consumed while it's still alive, while it's still living, and that the bacteria continues to grow. Now, in pasteurized milk, the shelf life is 14 days. And you can stick it in your refrigerator, and this stuff keeps you 14 days. That's good for manufacturers and suppliers. They want a long shelf life because, after all, this milk is money. They pay the dairyman for this milk that he delivers in 1,000-gallon tanks. So the milk truck comes by, pumps the milk into the truck, hauls it off to the creamer. And then that milk is processed, and it goes through the process, and it goes into trucks, and it gets shipped all over the country. I mean, hell, you can get California milk transported and shipped to other states around them, Nevada and Arizona and so on. Then that milk, you know, has to have some time for delivery. So that milk may be 3 or 4 days old by the time it gets to your shelf in your supermarket. And then it may sit on the shelf in the supermarket for 3 or 4 days. Now this milk is 6, 8 days old by the time it gets sold. And it still has a shelf life of another week. After you buy it, you can put it in your refrigerator and keep it a week. It's a shelf life up to 14 days. Now they got a new process, new industrial process called irradiation. I bought a quart of half and half one time. I went to the store, you know, and I bought this quart of half and half, brought it out, set it on the table in my motorhome. I was going to have some strawberries and cream. And just out of curiosity, I looked at the expiration date, and it said September 11th. Now this was about May. I mean, I'm not kidding you, boys and girls. It was about May, June at the latest. And it was 3 months into the future, the expiration date. And I said, oh, my God, there's something wrong with this. This must have been last year's milk. And then, of course, the carton explained it. Said, oh, this is irradiated milk. They're talking about milk product now that they can put on the, I mean, you just buy this stuff in the store. They won't even refrigerate. Just put it out on the shelf. It'll be like coffee, mate. You stick it out here and let it sit for weeks right out there on the shelf. Now, we're not talking about milk, live food, not the stuff that God designed and put into cows, you know, for you to drink. You know, not the land of milk and honey. We're talking about an industrial product, you know, like benzene or kerosene. A major factory in the demise of the raw certified milk industry was World War II. Milk could not be shipped halfway around the world in its natural state. So this gave a great impetus to pasteurization and powdered pasteurized milk. A near-fatal blow was dealt to the raw certified milk producers by the hiring of Mr. Charles Speaks as Secretary-Treasurer of the American Association of Medical Milk Commissions, the national organization responsible for maintaining the standards, educating the public, and encouraging milk producers to produce raw certified milk. Speaks was a double agent. Unbeknownst to the Milk Commission, he was also the executive secretary of the Milk Foundation, which is dedicated to the eradication of raw milk, certified or otherwise. Well, by the time the raw milk producers realized that they were being subverted from the inside, the battle was practically over. When Mr. Jack Mathis, president of Mathis Dairy in Atlanta, went to Washington to fire Speaks, he found two telephones on his desk, one for the Milk Commission and one for the Milk Foundation. "We never had a chance," Mathis remarked sadly. With the firing of Speaks, the official journal, Certified Milk Magazine, ceased to exist. The magazine had served the raw certified milk industry for 40 years, but it had become, under Speaks, an impotent publication, no longer defending or even advocating raw certified milk. In the 1930s, raw certified milk was vigorously defended in the pages of Certified Milk Magazine. After Speaks took over the publication of the magazine, the editorship, that is, the word raw was rarely mentioned. Fresh, unprocessed milk was a dead issue. It was defeated by a Trojan cow. The Trojan cow. Now, I might point out that in every one of these chapters here in the book, which I'll give another plug for here, called The Milk of Human Kindness Is Not Pasteurized. I'm reviewing the book. You won't be able to find this book in all probability out here in Barnes & Noble. I've tried to get these books from time to time. I've got a copy or two here in my office. And they're rare. I don't know how many Douglas sold, but I doubt if he sold 10,000. I mean, this isn't a bestseller. So if Douglas sold 10,000 books, they're out there somewhere. And if you can get a copy, it's a gold mine. I mean, if you paid for this in gold coin, the information contained in the book is worth its weight in gold, then it's worth that. And I'd pay that if I needed to. And every one of these chapters is well referenced, like the Journal of Epidemiology, Volume 3, page 247, the Iowa Department of Health letter, February 20th, 1981, and then the History of Randley Farms, page 255, Journal of the American Medical Association, February 12, 1982. I just want you to think that this guy's just talking off the top of his head. He did his research. In fact, he went behind the scenes and did the research and exposed the false reporting of Ladies' Home Journal, Reader's Digest, and several other publications that actually lied about the statistics that they were reporting. He went to the health authorities of New York and various other state health authorities and said, "Well, tell me the story. Now, give me the statistics. Let me review them." Well, I'm out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. Let me give you a reminder. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to our webpage, georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, good night, friends.